What if you could spend 30 minutes with the brightest mind of our age? Man, that would be cool. Well, lower your expectations, people. This is the Mediocrities Podcast.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Mediocrities Podcast. I am your host, Mediocrities. This is episode 23. I'm really appreciating this time together, and I want to thank you for putting up with a little bit of road noise. I did try to batten down the hatches a little better to eliminate some of the plastic rattling, but I just appreciate this raw time together because it's different for me. In fact, this is the closest thing to just sitting down with some friends and sharing what's going on in our life. So I'm taking a break from the structure, you know, the three segments that we normally do, and just talking. And so I hope that you appreciate the change of pace. I would like to continue to hear from you. I think that the feedback I've gotten so far has been helpful. But do think about it this way. Think about it as a couple of friends sitting together and just sharing their life with each other. You know, there's a level of intimacy there. And maybe I hope that you have something like that. I hope you have friends where you can get together with them and just be yourself. And there's no pretense. There's no having to hide anything. You can just say what's on your mind, because there are times when you just need that. So that's what this time is for me. And since we're doing it in a podcast, you're kind of a captive audience, but you're not captive. You can change the channel at any time, right? Switch to another podcast if you want to listen to Chris Padgett and Jeff Bogue and Let's Do News or some of the other shows that are out there. That's your choice, but I appreciate that you're here with me, and I do appreciate the conversations that are happening and as you're giving feedback. So let me drop that information one more time as we get started. You can always reach me through the Anchor app if you're using that to listen to podcasts, or through Spotify to contact me. You can also reach me via email at MediocritiesPodcast@outlook.com. And I check messages all the time. In fact, through the Anchor app, you're allowed to leave voice messages. So those are actually pretty entertaining. In fact, you know, I mentioned Jeff and Chris. I just got a voicemail from them, about a week ago. So it's fun to hear from you. I actually hear human voices or robot voices. That's fine. But it is fun to hear from you, so I appreciate the time. Today, last week we looked at the ways that we build up the body, and this time we're looking at the opposite and the ways that people break up the body, hurt the body. And I wanted to hit on that because I think that's kind of it's a touchy subject, obviously, but it's a big deal for the church right now, for Christianity in general. And even if you're listening to this from the United States of America, we're seeing it here in the United States. And I would wonder if the same kind of things are happening to our friends in other countries. So maybe we can talk about that sometime. So anyway, we're going to dive in. Actually, I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you. And then we're going to talk about it. This is not what I normally do, but I wanted to do it today. So after the sponsor break, take a listen to the scriptures, and then we'll come back. I'm curious if this is going to record when I change screens, because I want to read something to you. Galatians 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is bound to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and he who is troubling you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But if I, brethren, still preach circumcision, then why am I still persecuted? In that case, the stumbling block of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. All right, cool. So you had a chance to listen to that amazing reading of Galatians 5. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't pay any voice actors to do the reading for me. No dramatized readings. It's just me. What'd you think about that? Have you ever read that before? So there were a couple of things going on, just to give you some background. There were a couple of things happening in the church of in Galatia. When Paul was writing this letter, there was a group of people that were stirring stuff up in the church and were giving the Galatian Christians a hard time, or not just the Christians, but those that were seeking to become Christians. And this group of people, they were called the Judaizers. And the reason they were called the Judaizers is because they were forcing people, or harassing people, I guess probably be a better way of putting it, harassing people toward first becoming practicing Jews before they could convert to Christianity. So, oh, you want to be baptized and become a Christian? That's great. First, you have to be circumcised, guys. First, you have to commit yourself to following the ceremonial traditions, the dietary rules of Judaism, and then you can become a Christian, because only real Christians practice Judaism. So that's kind of the way they were packaging it. And they felt that they had some justification because the original followers of Jesus were all practicing Jews that continued on in the newly created Christian religion, right? Following Jesus Christ. And they were making some assumptions. But the church had declared in Jerusalem that one does not have to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. And so St. Paul has to go on a description to the people of Galatia that they've been set free from the works of the law. That's a phrase that comes up a lot in Paul's writings. They've been set free from the works of the law. Your relationship with God is not dependent upon whether or not you separate your meat and cheese in the refrigerator, or two refrigerators. It's not dependent on whether you observe the dietary regulations of the Jewish faith and the 600 plus laws, right? This was part of the issue with the Pharisees. They had all these regulations and they took the Mosaic law and added to it to the point where, yeah, people were getting in trouble for picking up a bed and carrying it, you know, a little bedroll or something. They were getting in trouble for that. Yet you would see people constantly doing things which you would think were clear violations of the law, but they were always justifying themselves. It was a complete misunderstanding of what the law was meant to do. So one of the things that St. Paul provides for us, and in fact, it's in chapter 3 of Galatians, if you want to read it for yourself. St. Paul says that the law was a schoolmaster. A schoolmarm to point us to lead us to Christ. The law was not able to save us. What the law did was to remind us that apart from God, we can't please Him. We need God's help to even please Him. We need God's help to have a relationship. We bring nothing to the table apart from our weakened selves, right? So what the law was not able to do, Jesus Christ did. He fulfilled the law. He completed the law. He is the embodiment of the completion of that law. That's why Jesus is the fullness of God's revelation. He is God incarnate, right? So He makes the connection between us and the other that is God. God's not just an elevated dude. God is other. He is transcendent. But God the Son and the person of Jesus Christ has made the connection, has restored us to relationship with God and friendship with God. And after all, that was the purpose of the law. When you talk about people that were keeping the law and whether or not they were tzedek, whether they were righteous, it meant that they could be friends with God. That's how they remember Moses. Moses talked to God face to face as to a friend. That's the righteousness that they wanted. Jesus Christ makes that possible. So now you have this group of Judaizers that are saying, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But if you really want to be Christian, you must first be a Jew. And they're trying to add something on top. So Paul says, these people are trying to enslave you in something from which you've been set free. You don't have to be in bondage to the law. You don't have to keep the ceremonial law. Jesus has set you free from that. He has not set you free that you may break the moral law. The moral law has not changed. We still shouldn't be killing and lying and stealing. But He has set us free from those ceremonial obligations whose purpose was to show us that we, by ourselves, cannot please God. We need His help. So He goes on to point the things out and to remind them. And He even makes the comment. He says, you know, all these people that are so bent on you circumcising yourselves, I wish they'd go a step further. Not only do I wish they'd circumcise themselves, I wish they'd castrate themselves. I don't know what translation you're using. Some translations will say, if it's in verse 12, they'll say that he wishes that they would mutilate themselves or hurt themselves. The word there is the same word we use for castration, which is interesting because there were religious cults at the time, and that's how people showed their dedication, was castration. So, you know, Thank God that's not a requirement. But that's, he was talking about people that were trying to cut themselves off from the law, or cut themselves off from the life of faith in Christ by becoming again in bondage to the law. You know, there's all this talk of cut and cut and cut and cut, and then he uses that word for castrate. So, little play on words. St. Paul is very clever like that. But this is the point. This is why he talks about the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh, and the thing that he really capitalizes on in this whole passage is one of those works of the flesh. And my translation uses the word party spirit. Party spirit is not like, yeah, dude, party. It's not that kind of party. It's party as in factiousness, as in political party, as in sectarian activity. So we're trying to gather a following for ourselves. And I wonder how often you and I see that even today in our culture, in our nation, and even inside the church. Remember, these Judaizers were Christians. They were inside the church. They were trying to split the church inside, claiming for themselves a brand and a distinction where God had not created a distinction. His church had declared that the law is no longer required. Circumcision is not required. And yet they were acting as though it were. And that this is what real Christians do. Do you run into that yourself? Where the church has made a change. And maybe people don't like it. And so they disparage anybody who is exercising the freedom that the church has granted. And I want to remind you of something too, because I'm not pointing fingers at any particular group, because I think there are several of them. In fact, I think there are several groups that at the exact same time would not just want to add things to it, would want to take things away where the church has not taken them away. And understand this, the Holy Mother Church has been established by Christ as a steward of her gospel, a keeper of the deposit of faith that he has given in order that it may faithfully pass it on. That's where we get our word traditio, for tradition, to pass on. This is what St. Paul's talking about when he writes to Timothy. What you've received from me, pass on to faithful men. That's what tradition is. The sacred trust that God has given, the charge that he's given to his church to teach them all that he's commanded them. So here's what the church cannot do. She cannot change her beliefs. And I don't care what you've read. The church hasn't changed what she believes, and she can't do that. What she can change is how she operates. She can change the mass. She can change how things are structured. She can. And God has established the church to be organizationally controlled by fallible human beings. And so we're trusting in an infallible God to run a church that has humans making decisions on practical matters. We're not always going to like those things. And you think, how am I going to fix this church? And my controversial statement is this: you can't. That's not your job. It's God's circus, therefore it's God's monkeys. God must fix his church, and God will lead his church. And guess what? Read some history, my friends. Go back and see. We have had absolute imbeciles in charge at times, trying to do all kinds of things. But God has always protected his church. God has always taken care of his church. God is not going to let his church be destroyed, even from the inside. So when the hand-wringers come to you and tell you that nothing matters anymore, you can do whatever you want, you can ignore them. Be polite, of course. And when the people come to you and say, the church is destroying itself, you can ignore them. Because God is in control, and he always has been, and he doesn't need your help. He can defend himself just fine. What is our job? Our job is to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. What he mentions also in that passage of Galatians 5. Some examples, fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Jesus said that we'll be known by our love. St. John, who gives us in his letters, says that we'll be known by our love. That is the mark of the Christian. Not our organizational structure, not our mission statement. So, my encouragement to you is to spend your time and my time encouraging each other and being faithful to Jesus Christ. We're going to run into people every day that don't agree with us, that are hateful toward us, that are trying to divide the church, that are trying to lead us into things that take away from what God has given, and people that try to lead us away by adding to what God has given. We need to stay away from all that mess. Instead, we need to focus on being faithful to Jesus Christ. That's the challenge. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So in doing that, I want us to pray for each other. I want you to pray for Mediocrities. I pray for you. I went to adoration last night, and I was praying for all of you. I've been able to, we're starting to do Eucharistic adoration again, perpetual adoration again at the church. And I picked up an hour. And I'm grateful for that. I want to encourage you to pray for each other. Pray for the sad divisions in our church. Pray for the people that want to abuse their authority or their influence. Maybe it's laypersons, maybe it's clergy, but they want to take that influence that they have and use it to gather a following for themselves or for people that think like they do, rather than to trust God. You know, when you read through that passage, when you read through Galatians, go back and look at it. Go back and look at it yourself. And you tell me, well, don't tell me. Tell God. I don't need to know. Talk to God about it. When you read through Galatians, and particularly chapter 5, where do you see yourself? Are you the person that's being persecuted and harassed by a Judaizer type? Are you under pressure to conform to a particular thing that goes beyond church teaching? Because they're telling you this is, you have to do this in order to be a real Christian? Or are you the person that's putting those kinds of conformities on somebody else? And you maybe need to take a second look at that. And bottom line, how are we treating each other, regardless of which character you see yourself? Are you exercising those fruits of the Spirit? I know I don't do it all the time. I'm horrible at it. Let's spend some time trying to cultivate that. The only way to cultivate it is through fidelity to Jesus Christ, faithfulness to Jesus Christ, frequenting the sacraments, and asking God to help us, and say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right? Asking and begging for God's help. He'll give it to you. He gives it to us. He gives it to us freely. St. James says he'll give it to us if we ask. So let's do more of that. And less trying to cut each other off through labels and backbiting and slander and all the other stupid stuff we do. None of that is the fruit of the Spirit. So Yeah, I hope that you'll practice that. And I'm not, believe me, I'm not trying to be preachy. This is pointing the finger right back at me. In fact, I learned something this week, or I'd like to think that I knew it before, but I don't think I did. One of the things that St. Francis reminds us is that our neighbor is the, next to the Eucharist, our neighbor is the place where we meet God the most intimately. And I had to think about that for a minute. At the end of Matthew's gospel, when he's talking about people that are going to be judged, the sheep and the goats and all that stuff, it's how they treated people, right? It's how they lived their life. And I will argue that one cannot fulfill those things and do those things, which we would call the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy. I'll argue that you can't do those things apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, apart from a relationship with Him, either because it will be disingenuous or it just won't last, it just won't work. Human efforts fail. Cooperating, like we talked last time, cooperating with Christ's Spirit, cooperating with the Holy Trinity in that relationship. That's where we get the grace to be able to do these things and to exercise those fruits of the Spirit. And if I see in my neighbor an opportunity to worship God by the way that I treat and serve them, it changes the way I look at people, changes the way I look at my enemies. Because I've got some enemies. I've got some people that rather I just shrivel up and die. Because I'm taking up gas in their world, you know? Anyway, if I see in my coworker an opportunity to serve God, then the way that I treat that coworker matters, doesn't it? If I see in my child an opportunity to serve God and worship God, changes the way I treat my child, doesn't it? Even if I'm tired, even if I'm irritated. Or my spouse, when I'm asked to do something for the umpteenth time. Why didn't you do it the first time then? You know? So I'm not being preachy. I'm pointing the finger right at myself and I'm just telling you about it. Okay? So I hope that you don't think that I'm just trying to come down on people, because I'm not. I'm frustrated by the way things are in the church. I see it. I'm seeing it in politics. I'm seeing it in the church, and I just want it to stop. And I think if we take St. Paul at his word, you know, he says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And you're talking about how yeast works in bread. So that can work negatively, you know, that works negatively when it comes to a few bad people making things rough for everybody else, but it can work for the good as well. A few people trying to live faithfully can make a great influence, can begin to spread just like leaven, just like yeast, can begin to spread and affect more than just their little area where they started. That's where you and I come in. So I'm encouraging you to do that. So thanks again for joining me. I hope that you have an awesome day. I'm about to go into a set of meetings that is sure to exhaust me, but I'm going to be looking for ways to serve my fellow man in this meeting. I hope that you'll do the same. And like I said, I prayed for you at adoration. I hope that you'll pray for me when you go to adoration, when you say your prayers. Say a prayer for mediocrities. Say a prayer especially for those people that irritate you and those people that cut you off on the highway. All right, let's try it. Let's see if we can be the leaven that makes things better. All right, we'll talk to you next time.